back. Welcome to another and interesting edition of Mike, Mike, and Oscar.
This is a weird one.
I am your host, Mike. This is my co-host, also
I'm also not Mike, and this is going to be a niche episode.
It's also maybe featuring the pitter-patter of my dog's claws hitting the floor as she's
giving
in and
me
out
the
of
paw.
Our show.
Look at that.
Yeah, she's demanding some petting right now. But
not spoiled at all.
We've done the Oscar sprint profiles. We've done the Oscar category reviews. All of that is in the background. We keep promising time after time that you're going to get our official Oscar predictions on record, and this is that show. This is our official Oscars prediction show for the Academy Award and who will be going home with the trophies on Sunday, March 4th. Here's how we're going to try to handle this. We're going to go through each and every category, and we're going to tell you the odds, who the favorite is, and what our official picks are. Now, here's the part where you say, wait a minute, isn't the majority of your guys' show centered on those main seven Oscar categories like you've told us time and again?
Yes.
And you're right. Thus, Mike has seen a fair majority of these movies.
An embarrassing
for more amount.
not all of them, though. The best of the pundits.
Yeah, you've covered more of these categories than
a halfway decent pundit. Stick my chest out. Halfway decent.
My research and effort has been into the main seven categories, so if you're going to take someone's advice, and that's someone that knows what they're talking about, you may want to listen to also Mike until we get to those top seven categories that we've talked about.
Here's the thing, though. You know how the NCAA tournament comes along every year, and when I watch a ton of college basketball,
yes,
that's usually when I do the worst.
Exactly. Yeah.
So now, like, this is our first year doing this.
Yeah.
So I don't know if having seen all of these movies will now screw me up.
It's going to have the opposite effect.
I'll do worse.
Picking the one with the cutest mascots and winning. Yeah. Yeah. Who knows?
Does she have raptor claws right now? Because
she's a very demanding dog.
I think my wound is opened wide.
When she decides it's time for you to pet her, it is time for you to pet her.
Did she draw blood? you gotta get your claws shaved or clipped.
So we'll be going in order. Let's explain a little bit for those of you that don't have crippling, addicting, horrible demons in their background, like some of us, how the odds on a gambling website work.
And this happened, and Mike's giving you this explanation because I asked, what does minus 500 mean? How much money do I have to bet to win a dollar? And he laughed at me. So go ahead, Mike.
I think I lost money on that statement, actually. Best visual effects is the first award we're going to start with today. So let's run through the numbers for that. Blade Runner is the favorite in the category at minus 150. For those of you who don't know, if you've never been inside the inside of a sports book or actually have your life together, unlike me, minus 150 or minus whatever number means that is, in this case, the favorite to win the category. And what that means is minus 150, you bet $150 to win 100 back. So basically every $1.50 I bet on, in this case, Blade Runner 2049 for best visual effects, I'd win back a dollar. Something like War for the Planet of the Apes is plus 120, which means every $100 you bet, you win 120 back. That's why it's an underdog. Anything with a positive sign is the underdog. Anything with a negative sign or a minus is the favorite in the category.
Uh-huh.
You divide by 100 because that's what casinos deal with, because they don't bother with small pittance and I'm broke.
and they try to bump up the betting prices, I guess.
Exactly. So Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 in the best visual effects category is plus 2,500. That's basically saying if that were to win and that's your pick, every $1 you spend on it plus 2,500, you get $25 back.
Watch Molly's game and see how easily we are all manipulated.
So let's go through the best visual effects category. That's where we'll start. And like I said, Blade Runner 2049 is the favorite in the clubhouse at minus 150. War for the Planet of the Apes in second place at plus 120. Star Wars The Last Jedi at plus 1800. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 at plus 2500. And Kong Skull Island, a distant fifth in this case, at plus 6600. Michael, where are we going?
I'll put 240 there on the Planet of the Apes, Mike. I screwed that up already. I screwed it up already. 200. So then I'd win I'd win 480.
Close. 240.
I'd win 240.
Because it's 120 and you're putting 200, so it's 120 twice.
I'd win pi.
Just stay out of a casino.
Yeah.
If anyone says, let me help you, run away from that man. But yes. So you're taking War for Planet of the Apes.
I am taking War for the Planet of the Apes because the apes looked real, not almost real, or drawn really well. They looked honest to God real. I've seen precursor award shows vote for War for the Planet of the Apes. Yes, Blade Runner is phenomenal. I spent most of that movie with my jaw dropped and drool on my chin.
To be fair, that's how you spend most days, though.
I'm a mouth breather, mm-hmm. and this movie just totally blows you away visually speaking. However, those apes were gosh darn real, and it was the best thing about the movie.
Yeah, and to also Mike's credit, he's been pushing that since episode one. He said he had a problem with the effects of battle, how it didn't look like a full-blown out war for the planet, but he was on the visual effects.
Slightly mistitled, that movie. It's really minor skirmish for the... You know, the mound of the monkeys or something.
I like the you're taking a risk with the underdog right away. I'll go with the favorite though, Blade Runner 2049. This isn't going to be the episode where you get a lot of our backstory as to why and what awards these movies have won leading up to it. We kind of covered that and will cover that.
We've had many Hollywood hot takes where we've gone over that for you.
Right, so we're just kind of giving you our picks to get an official predictions pod down. But that said, Blade Runner has won a lot of those cinematography awards and visual effects awards already. That's why it is the favorite, and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't go forward here. And that's what I'd put my money on. Not an exciting pick, but it's the favorite. And we'll go to our second category. Best film editing. This is Dunkirk sitting at minus 200. Baby Driver at plus 150. Shape of Water, every $1 wins you 18. Three Billboards, every $1 wins you 50. And I, Tonya is tied with Three Billboards, meaning at plus 5,000.
This is kind of crazy, dude, because I think the other betting website I was looking at had War for the Planet of the Apes and Baby Driver as favorites. So this is wild. There's two betting websites, and they're picking different things. So,
there are betting websites.
I'm
on the
going
internet.
With Baby Driver, more precursor awards.
Not a surprise if you've listened to us in the past. Another big favorite of also Mike's.
Oh, my God. Maybe the favorite. Wink, wink. It's shot like a music video, this entire movie. It's almost too much music, too much editing. And it's, you know, every shot, every sequence, it's to the rhythm of the music. So the editing is just so essential to the movie. I think that's why it's got to get it.
I'm not going to surprise anyone for the second category. I'm going to go Dunkirk because based solely on the fact that Dunkirk needs to win something. And it may not win Best Picture, although there is a groundswell of late support for Best Picture.
Don't bet on us.
it's not going to win Best Score. Alexander Desplat has won everything for Best Score for Shape of Water. It doesn't have any acting to its name. It's probably not going to win Best Director. The Best Sound and Best Film Editing are Dunkirk's best chances. It has to win one of those.
Quite possible.
So I'll just split the odds and say that film editing is the one it gets. So again, I'll take Dunkirk as the favorite, minus 200. Let's move along to Best Costume Design, which if you're betting on Best Costume Design, again, you and I sound like we'd be great friends.
Yeah, you have a problem.
Phantom Thread at minus 1,000. Beauty and the Beast in second place at plus 700. Shape of Water is $1, wins you 18. Darkest Hour, $1, wins you 25. Victoria and Abdul getting its name in the race for the first time today. $1 wins you 33. It is plus 3,300. Michael, best costume design.
Phantom Thread. 1950s fashion is really of no interest to me, but this movie made it interesting. Perhaps the stories and the anecdotes behind and around all the costumes, you know, that elevates the significance of the costumes themselves, of the work, significance of the work. So I wonder if that's why it's such a favorite going in right now. Would you say that it's an overwhelming favorite in terms of those numbers, Mike?
Minus 1,000 is, I mean, it's 10 to 1 odds, right? It's basically you're winning 10 cents for every dollar you put down.
So that's $1,000. Yeah, that's an overwhelming favorite.
So, yeah, I've seen it in similar odds in other books, and the one we're using right now says it's minus 1,000. Yeah, I mean, it is the only movie of those five nominated that's about fashion and about costume designs. Though Shape of Water did just win the upset over Phantom Thread at the Costume Design Guild Awards, which I love doing this podcast.
We covered that one wall to wall.
We learned something new every time we go out, and I learned that existed. So good for Shape of Water there. But yeah, tough to bet against Phantom Thread. It is the heavy favorite, like you just mentioned. So that's where I'm going to go too. I'm 3 for 3 on betting the favorites. What a risque show and pick I'm doing.
Makes sense. You're a sensible man.
That's not true. Where are we going next?
Best makeup and hairstyling, Mike?
Best makeup and hairstyling. Darkest Hour. Heavy, heavy favorite. To no surprise by anyone. That is a minus 1667 favorite. So I don't even know what those odds are. That's
my goodness.
That's something very, very heavy. Wonder is plus 800. Victoria and Abdul getting another costume makeup effect nominee, but plus 1600. How do you go against Darkest Hour here?
Right, I mean, Wonder won something recently. I thought it was a BAFTA, but Gary Churchill or Winston Oldman.
Winston Oldman's a great name.
Winston Oldman, yeah. He won that movie. The Costume Design Guild won that movie for Gary
The costume
Oldman.
May win him a Best Actor, a big part of winning him that Best Actor.
Played a huge role in it. It's probably a shoo-in.
I don't know how you bet against it, but then again, it's such a heavy favorite. There's no value in betting that for anyone that's a serious gambler and would bet on Best Makeup. And if you do, we need to hang out sometime.
But seriously, though, if you bet $100 on that, what do you win? You win $16?
No. If you bet $100 on Darkest Hour for best costume there,
Yeah.
You win
$1.60.
You need to bet $16.67 to win 100. So whatever that math is, not good odds. Anything in the minus 300, 400, you better be damn sure it's winning if you're going to bet it. Such a heavy favorite. So minus 1600 is like, no. Not even something I would bet. Where are we going next?
How about best cinematography?
Cinematography. Blade Runner 2049, here's its name again. And again, is a favorite at minus 1,000. Dunkirk in there at plus 700. Mike and Oscar favorite of cinematography there. Shape of Water getting all kinds of momentum in this category as well. Plus 1,400. Mudbound, Rachel Morrison, first ever female nominated in the category. $1 on her would win you 25 back. And Darkest Hour bringing up the rear at a plus 6,600 favorite, meaning it is a Hail Mary at best. What do you think, Mike?
It's Roger Deakins' year. I think Blade Runner 2049 is going to take it.
It's a beautiful, beautiful
Skyfall, Fargo, Sicario, some recent favorites. Roger Deakins, cinematographer. He's just been doing it for a long time, and everybody seems to say this is his year, which is the kind of narrative that gets you an Oscar at the end of the day. So
another one of those categories. We appreciated The Shape of Water for its artistic integrity, but I don't know that we were necessarily blown away by the cinematography of it.
Right.
But that could also be chalked up to us not getting the craze of Shape of Water to begin with.
Who was the second favorite? Was it Dunkirk?
Dunkirk at plus 700. Over $1 wins you seven back.
Any other year, I would say Dunkirk.
Yeah, I would agree, but I don't see how you can... And, you know, you got Jared Leto meditating with his eyes open while they're closed in the middle of a chapel.
That was my least favorite part of that movie with the Jared Leto stuff. But I love the rest of it, especially when they go out, walk out on a town, you know, with the crazy futuristic, just the futuristic marketing campaigns. I wish we could do those for our podcast.
I'm just
trying giant naked women walking around.
Free tickets to 30 Seconds to Mars next time they're in town.
Yeah. Are stuck in the middle of the
2000s. Where are we going next? On Water is a great song. And Snapchat.
Best cover. Production design, Mike.
Production design. Shape of Water is one of the categories. It is the favorite at minus 500. Blade Runner 2049. Blade Runner might have a chance to run the table here like Mad Max Fury Road did with all these undercard awards, and it could make a big statement in that way. But
right.
Blade Runner 2049 in second place at plus 350. Beauty and the Beast, here's its name. It's plus 1,800 here, and Dunkirk is plus 2,500. Darkest Hour bringing up the rear. $1 would win you 50. What do we got?
I want to see what Mugatu is going to wear from the Shape of Water crowd. He looks like Will Ferrell from Zoolander. I'm sorry. I don't know what race he is, but he's got purple hair. He's got the huge sneakers. He's got his own unique look. Looks like Mugatu from Zoolander. Shape of Water, I think, is going to win. It's winning most of the precursors. I love to study the details of this film when I do catch it again. I may watch it once more at some point. Maybe if we have to do if it sweeps or if it wins a bunch of awards, maybe we have to do one more look at it down the line.
Yeah, this is the first category we've discussed that I have absolutely no idea and just taking a shot in the dark. And I will go with Blade Runner winning all the undercard ones.
Possible.
So I'll go with Blade Runner 2049. My first upset pick, plus 350. It's decent odds. I couldn't tell my ass from my elbow in this category, though.
It would be my favorite. Who I would want to win, Blade Runner, no question.
It's the heart versus the head is the internal battle.
Yeah.
I never win.
So best sound mixing, Mike.
Sound mixing, one of the important ones in our lives, of course. Sound mixing, Dunkirk. Well, this is the other area that Dunkirk's going to see its awards if it's going to get any, but it is the favorite at minus 625, meaning you have to put a $625 bet down to win 100 back. My God. Baby Driver is in second place at plus 450. Blade Runner 2049 at plus 1600. Shape of Water at plus 2500. And Star Wars The Last Jedi at plus 5000.
What'd you say was the favorite again?
Dunkirk.
Be
at
good
minus
if I listen to you. Yes, Dunkirk. Yeah, I'm going with Dunkirk. It's won most of them.
It's a heavy favorite. It's a heavy favorite for the reason. It should win the sound mixing. War movies tend to win the sound award.
And if you think about it, the sound mixing is the more self-explanatory of these two. The other one requires a bit more of an explanation, sound editing. But sound mixing, they're mixing the sound effects with the score, with what they take on set, et cetera, et cetera. They're mixing all the sound together into one composition. And Dunkirk with the IMAX cameras that can't really record sound that well. So it is really quite the post-production process where they're getting this done.
Yeah.
Sound editing...
It's a very professional take by you.
Sound editing is more of the design, and I'll get into that next. But yeah, so I would say Dunkirk makes sense here.
Yeah, Dunkirk probably does make sense. It's such a heavy favorite. If you're looking for value in this category, I really don't know which way to point you. Baby Driver, like you said, is pretty much a music video. It's mixed pretty well. Blade Runner, again, if it's the aesthetic sweep like we saw with Mad Max, it's going to win this one too. Shape of Water has gotten some heavy praise for its sound and the blending and the soundtrack that goes along with it. I don't know where to point. And then the Star Wars, of course.
They put Amelie on in the background. And they just put the volume up really high. That's a stupid joke.
Yeah, I'll pick Dunkirk. I don't know where I would go if I wanted a value bet in this category. I'd probably avoid it. Where are we going next?
Sound editing. Dunkirk again. Yeah.
One of the favorites. The favorite, I should say, minus 667. Baby Driver at plus 500. Blade Runner at plus 1400, Shape of Water at plus 2500, and Star Wars The Last Jedi at plus 5000.
So I would figure Star Wars had to have won a bunch of these in the past because they make up all their own sound effects, right?
Like that's a good point.
All the different characters. Like fantasy movies should win more of these. I mean, come on.
Just two grown men making noises in the microphones.
This year's Dunkirk, again, the IMAX cameras not being able to record, so they had to do a lot of that in post-production. So it makes a whole lot of sense to give Dunkirk the two awards here, and this is probably what Dunkirk wins on the night.
It's got to get one of the three. I hate picking it when it's the favorite all three times. Let's go over what editing is once again.
I wrote this down. I don't know if I got it right, but this sound editing is the award for the design of the sound. Sound editing is the creation of sound effects, which is what I took off of Wikipedia.
Yeah, so what the hell? I'll go Baby Driver.
Okay.
I mean, all those, the tire whirling, and they had to get all those different kind of mechanical noises to go on with the noises people make as well, and John Hamm hanging off the ledge there.
So minus 667, what do you have to bet?
You're betting $667 to win 100 back, so you're betting $66.70 to win 10.
So if you bet 100, you win 667.
No, the other way around. You have to bet 67 to win 100 because it's the favorite. You have to put.
All right. Well, if you bet. All right. If you're betting on Baby Driver, you put 100 on Baby Driver.
It's plus 500. So you put 100 on Baby Driver. You're winning 500 if it wins, plus your $100 bet back. Nice. So it's 500 profit.
Nice.
Where are we going next?
Can't beat those ads.
you can. You can in this category alone.
Yeah. That's a slippery slope. My God. Best original song, Mike. Can't resist those million to one odds.
Remember Me by On Coco is the favorite, which is surprising to me because This Is Me by The Greatest Showman is plus 140 in second place, which I would have thought was the favorite. Mystery of Love for Call Me By Your Name at plus 1600 by Sufjan Stevens. Mighty River by Mary J. Blige plus 2500. And Stand Up for Something in Marshall at plus 2500, the same odds as Mighty River. Mighty River being that low surprises me. And This Is Me not being the favorite surprises me.
I'm taking This Is Me for The Greatest Showman.
Yeah, I am too. I don't understand why it wouldn't win.
Yeah, it just feels like an Oscars Best Original Song winner.
Certainly.
I can't get it out of my head. Every time I'm in the movies. I don't know how I time it this way. Every time I'm in the movies, I'm walking by the Greatest Showman Theater, and that song's either on in the credits or it's on, you know, when I'm walking by it. I'm literally, this has happened to me three times.
I
go to the movies too often.
We have something to tell you as a society. You are
Movie
in
pass.
The Truman Show.
Yeah.
It's you.
So, I mean, yeah, Coco's music is nice, but this is a showstopper,
this
song.
It bears repeating that Coco, Pixar, Disney, that let it go. Usually when they team up and put something out, it sweeps the nation. Remember Me really hasn't. I thought Moana was pretty catchy last year. That was a straight Disney pick, not Pixar. So City of Stars winning last year, not the Moana song, so shows what I know. But yeah, I'm going with you. Greatest Showman, This Is Me. If you're looking for an underdog to bet, if you're betting all favorites, I think that might be the one with the best chance of winning on the night, actually.
I mean, Coco's going to win Best Animated Feature, hands down. So, wouldn't they want to? Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's that much better of a song that they have to give that song to this movie. Have to give two awards to that movie. I don't know.
What we got next?
Let's do Best Original Score.
Best Original Score sounds good, and Shape of Water sounds sad to me. It's won everything, Alexander Desplat, and it's the favorite here.
Desplat?
Minus 550 odds. Desplat. Dunkirk at plus 550, the exact opposite. Hans Zimmer should just riot and just punch out.
It's going to beat the Star Wars remix, huh?
Star Wars is the rear horse. Phantom Thread is in third place, plus 1,100, three billboards, plus 2,500. Star Wars The Last Jedi, 5th place, plus 3,300.
Upon rewatches, I enjoy the Three Billboards and Phantom Thread scores.
Yeah, they're fine.
I don't like want to listen to them on their own.
Yeah, Star Wars you do.
The thing is, Dunkirk freaks me out. Like,
it's
when I listen
so
to that one,
good,
it's great.
Though.
It's great. It's great. But when I listen, I try to listen to that on Spotify, it totally freaks me out. Maybe I'm doing the wrong drugs.
There's no such thing. Plus 550 is
take drugs, Danny.
Good. It's good odds too for an underdog. But Shape of Water is winning this category, so I don't know why you'd stay. I mean, the plot's going to win.
Yes,
he's won everything
agreed.
Up to it.
Agreed.
So why wouldn't he win this? So I'd stay away from the category if you're actually betting. But if you're just in a pick 'em pool, go with Shape of Water.
All right, Mike. Best animated short film.
Yeah, this is the one I was most prepared for. I'm ready to go. Actually, I know nothing about the short films, but I know Dear Basketball is in this, and I know it's gotten the most headlines. It's probably the most famous of these nominees.
Dude, it is the worst one by far.
Is it? You've seen them, yeah.
I just came from last night. I was expecting to be awed by it. I mean, yes, the animation is like a bunch of pencil drawings with some color, mm-hmm. and he pulls it through like this book report of him talking about his career. So I guess if you're in Hollywood and you're all Laker fans by association, if not, you know.
Well, that's the other thing. Who hasn't heard of
Kobe
Bryant?
By adoption, right? Yeah. Then it makes sense. But all these, like these other four movies are freaking masterpieces. You got Pixar. Lou is bringing the Pixar goods. Mm-hmm. Garden Party looks real. It's about frogs at this abandoned French mansion, and they're just the frogs for 12 minutes, eye-poppingly amazing.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And it's a pretty cool story. Negative Space is like this weird stop motion, claymation kind of thing, with his personal story about this guy's relationship with his father. And then Revolting Rhymes is like, it's almost like a Disney animation, not Pixar, but it's this like long 35-minute where they blend like four fairy tales together, like Three Little Pigs, Big Bad Wolf,
cool.
and Little Red Riding Hood, Snow White. They blend them all together and in like a modern cartoonish setting where like they're in a fairy magical fairyland and then they go to like a real city.
They should send you around the country to promote that film.
Well,
you just described it.
Here's the thing, like. Most of these movies, they end like horrifically bad. It's great. Like the endings, I was laughing in the theater by myself. I have private.
Good. That's always good.
I have a private screening last night, and then the girl came in like mid screen. There's supposed to be seven people in here. I'm like, nope, private screening.
Hey, how you doing?
I couldn't have felt more awkward. But it's just me. It's 10:30 at night, watching the best animated shorts. Where has my life gone? And the Kobe Bryant one was the worst one. I'm picking Lou, the Pixar one. Even though Garden Party is probably the best animation, Revolting Rhymes the best story, Lou is the most heartwarming.
It's going to fit our Pixar show's motif when we get to the end of this episode and we've spent the most time on best animated short film. But Dear Basketball is the favorite with minus 333. Lou is
You're
plus 350.
Right.
Garden Party plus 1,100. Negative Space plus 2,000. And Revolting Rhymes at plus 2,500. I'm going to take Dear Basketball just because it's the one I know best. So what a earth-shattering opinion that is.
Sounds good.
Where are we going?
You're probably winning. So best live-action short film, Mike?
DeKalb Elementary at minus 250. The Silent Child at plus 400. The 11 O'Clock at plus 600. Watu Wote, All of Us, plus 1,200. And My Nephew Emmett at plus 2,000. Those top three, DeKalb, Silent Child, and 11 O'Clock, all very, very close odds.
I did look at this last year, and Sing was like a major underdog, and it wound up taking it. So I don't necessarily know if the favorite's going to win. Here's the problem. DeKalb Elementary, I showed up late to that one. I only saw the end, which was like a woman with her head in her hands, just
Here's
like
your
crying,
Oscar.
Freaking out. So I don't know what the hell happened in that one.
Congratulations, everybody.
I got lost in New Haven, Connecticut. I didn't trust my GPS. I honestly didn't put it on.
He's new to the area.
Totally lost. But I enjoyed the other four films, and I enjoyed the animated films as well. So if you do get a chance, it's kind of worth it. Here's the thing: like every year, going to watch documentary shorts. Those are a parade of endless sadness and
hopelessness.
Which DeKalb
Elementary is. It's a 911 call plays out against the backdrop of a school shooting incident.
So I missed that one.
So, again, school shootings, very, very prevalent, unfortunately, in the headlines right now.
A lot of these are sad, but I do think they're well done, so they're worth watching. I'm gonna pick the 11 o'clock because of its premise. It's freaking hysterical. I won't spoil that for you.
You did describe that one to me, and I was laughing my ass off.
It's the one movie that is not an issue movie. It's not a true story. It's just super innovative and fun with a little short story premise kind of thing.
Yeah, I hate being the boring guy here, but school shootings, gun control issue, and Hollywood wanting to be one of the forces of change there is unfortunately again grabbing our headlines based on what just happened in Florida. So the call. Elementary having that very sad subject matter is probably what I would pick, even if it wasn't the favorite, but it is, and that only deepens my thinking that it would take home the award.
Possible.
Where are we going?
So let's go best documentary, Mike.
Best documentary. Faces Places, which also holds the distinction for being one of the highest rating Metacritic scores of the year in 2017, is the favorite at minus 330, Icarus at plus 350, Last Men in Aleppo at plus 800, Strong Island at plus 2500, tied with Abacus, Small Enough to Jail at plus 2500. The film that a lot of people thought would win this category wasn't even nominated.
Chain?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to see that when it was out in theaters. I still want to get a chance to see it. I missed it, but I just watched Faces Places today, and it's adorable, and France is very pretty, and I think I'm gonna have to go with that one.
It is the favorite. You wouldn't be the only one. Having seen none of these, I'm not qualified to give an opinion, but this is also America, so I will do so confidently, even though I know nothing about it. Big ups to our president. Faces Places is my pick as well. So best documentary short subject, since we're here, we'll go Edith and Eddie at minus 250 is the favorite. Heroine.
On Netflix, actually.
With the E in parentheses, plus 220. Heaven is a Traffic Jam on the 405, plus 800. Knife Skills, plus 2,000. Traffic Stop, plus 2,500.
I've only seen Traffic Stop, so I'm just going to go with the favorite, Edith and Eddie here. Traffic Stop is rough. It makes you sad. It's on HBO. Heroin is on Netflix. It's 40 minutes long. I probably should have watched that before this, and I didn't do it.
You know, Hollywood loves talking about itself.
Yeah.
So even though I've not seen any of these five, I'm going to pick Heaven as a Traffic Jam on the 405. Just because the 405 is the freeway, I'm pretty sure, in L.A.
Yeah.
And, yeah, what the hell? Put money on Kevin as a traffic jam at 405.
You don't know have a problem at all. Best foreign language film, Mike.
Best foreign language feature is where we will go. A Fantastic Woman, minus 167, is the favorite. The Square from Sweden, plus 180. Loveless from Russia, plus 1200. We are doing really well with Russia right now, so I can't imagine that not winning. The Insult from Lebanon at plus 1400. On Body and Soul from Hungary at plus 2000.
None of these have come close to us yet, except, well, just this week they're arriving. So I've seen The Square and On Body and Soul is on Netflix. I've seen that. The Square is bizarre. On Body and Soul is also bizarre. They're weird, like waking nightmares at times. They're waking dreams. They're very dreamlike. And yeah, they're very trippy. They're very slow, both of them, and prodding. I'm going to go with A Fantastic Woman. I just hear the most buzz about it. Supposedly he has a great performance and a central character. So I'm going
to
go with that.
Yeah, this is the one I actually feel bad about because I kept wanting to see The Square and I had time to when it was going through its run a couple months ago.
Just came out on VOD, I think, yeah, actually, sure, with that one.
Get around to it, but I haven't yet, and that's on me. But yeah, I'll go
with a decent soundtrack.
All right, fair enough.
There's like one song that's a banger. It's
fuck it. I'm going with The Square. Oh, yeah. Give me my plus 180 odds. That's my official pick. You could lock that down in stone. That's free money for you.
Best animated film, Mike. Coco.
Animated.
It's Coco.
Yeah, it's Coco.
All right, moving on.
Next one.
No, listen, The Breadwinner is a great movie.
Coco is minus 5,000.
I really like The Breadwinner. It's on Netflix right now. The Boss Baby was enjoyable. Loving Vincent is
interesting.
It's
very
a technical
unique.
Marvel. Yeah. I didn't see Ferdinand yet.
Doesn't matter.
Coco's John Cena. John Cena, here's
He's
your Oscar.
Bowl. Yeah.
So yeah, best animated is probably going to be Coco.
Is
all right, so here's the big seven, right? We're up to
are
it.
Are we here?
We're here.
Let's start with, we're on the verge of the big seven. Let's start with the eighth that we've treated like it has malaria because it has to do with reading and books. Best adapted screenplay. And these
Call
are,
Me By Your Name.
Finally, yes. This is
James
probably,
Ivory's going to win.
I'm actually surprised this has, the odds for this are not as high as Coco.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's minus 2,000, which is still astronomically high, but Mudbound is plus 1,000, Molly's Game plus 1,600, Disaster Artist plus 3,300, Logan plus 5,000, bringing up the rear. Again, minus 2,000, astronomically high. I would think it would be minus 5,000 because everybody and their mother and their father have picked this to win Best Adapted.
So to win $100, you got to bet 2,000.
Yep.
Shit.
Yeah. So you're winning like two wooden nickels if you bet.
Here's my house. Okay, so best original screenplay. Here we're in the go. Big seven.
Here we go. The big seven. Things we've actually tried to talk coherently about as opposed to whatever the past half hour was for your poor ears. The big seven. Best original screenplay. Not a favorite. All underdogs in this category.
Weird.
Not unprecedented.
How do they make money on that?
How do they make money on that? They just hope everyone's wrong.
Wow.
Yeah, not unprecedented. That scares me, by the way. I've seen it a couple times. We have been on record saying Get Out's the favorite, best original screenplay, and it's got the best odds, but not by much. Get Out plus 130, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, listed as plus 140 at what I'm looking at right now.
Holy shnikes.
So a $10 difference between those two. Lady Bird, third place, plus 300. Shape of Water, way back in plus 2,000. Big Sick, way, way back at plus 5,000.
They really don't know with those big three because, again, we're trying to find a landing spot for Lady Bird. We don't know what
That's
Greta Gerwig's going to get
puzzle,
on the night.
Yeah.
Martin McDonagh's movie could win for those acting awards, most likely going to. He's not nominated for director, so you wonder if it's going to have a chance at winning Best Picture. So now you have maybe Get Out wins Best Picture instead of Best Original Screenplay, and your Oscar puzzle is complete because Greta Gerwig wins Best Screenplay.
Yeah, look, you and I did our Best Original Screenplay category review. We were both up there with Get Out. I'm not betting against it. And if you can make money on Get Out, this is the category I would say it makes the most sense for Get Out to win. So I think this would be the quote-unquote safest bet. It's not going to be the one with most value. I think Get Out's best picture chances will give you more value and possible win. I know, I'm talking like a...
Betting
like a,
on the odds.
I'm talking like a very...
This is terrible.
A very seasoned professional. But yeah, I don't know. I think I would pick Get Out.
Do you bet on professional wrestling?
I don't see how that's important.
Get Out. I'm picking Get Out still, even though I think, you know, the new Academy could cannibalize Lady Bird and Get Out, and therefore Martin McDonagh.
The only
sneak,
thing I will say about that is that, and it doesn't apply so much with cinema with screenplay as it does with Best Picture, but everything that has leaked from the new Academy has been against Lady Bird. We had the IndieWire Oscar ballot, anonymous Oscar ballot that came out. That's that kind of shit on Lady Bird a little. We had Vulture.com released that article a couple days ago.
It's the favorite for nothing right now. So
yeah, people are not giving that respect as a hallmark picture, which surprises me. And it really
very much
it's a lot of good to go, way to go, Greta, but this isn't worthy of Best Picture, and that surprises me.
Wow.
Where are we going next?
Best Supporting Actress, Mike?
Supporting Actress. Again, we're dealing with a relatively heavy favorite here. Allison Janney has won everything for I, Tonya. She's minus 667. Laurie Metcalf for Lady Bird is plus 500. Leslie Manville from The Phantom Thread is in third place. A bit of a surprise. Tied with Mary J. Blige, Ashley from Mudbound at plus 2,500. And Octavia Spencer of Shape of Water is bringing up the rear at plus 3,300.
So that's stacked in Allison Janney's favor.
That's
those odds.
Fairly heavy odds for Allison Janney. I don't know how you bet against her.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Allison Janney as well. I, Tonya.
Here's the only thing I'll say, and this is a point you brought up. It doesn't happen. When a supporting character, whether it's an actor or actress, sweeps the undercard, like Janney and Rockwell have done, they win the Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
I can't comprehend us going chalk on all four of those, on all four acting categories. There has to be an upset somewhere, doesn't there? There's usually an upset.
Perhaps.
In a show. Yeah, it's tough.
There's usually upsets. I just don't...
And Rylance was the one that pulled it off last. He didn't win anything. Stallone won it all, and Rylance did the supporting
thing. That's 2 years ago, you're right. Last year, in terms of the odds, I'm going to tease it to the end of the show. I'll tell you what went against the odds after at the very end. I already said live action short. There was a movie that went that won that was, you know, one of the underdogs. I'll tell you the other few at the end of the show. So let's keep going. Yeah. Supporting actor?
No, I'm going to take Manville.
Oh, you supporting actress?
I'm going to take Manville for supporting actress, I think. Wow. I just think there's going to be an upset somewhere, and I don't think it's going to be Rockwell. It's
what
giving
are
away
odds?
The show, but man, good odds if you're going to go down that road.
As I see your pupils dilate into money signs.
Yeah. Well, just wait until March 4th. You're going to ask me for like $5.
Don't do it,
bucks.
Man. Don't do it.
I'm going to be asking you for a room to rent for free.
So best supporting
actor.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to go, man. I'm going to go Manville for now, subject to change as we go through these categories.
I'm trying to transition so you get the fixated look out of your face.
Best supporting actor. She's going to lose. Phantom Thread. Phantom Thread got love, so much love in such a short amount of time that worries me. I don't know. You're the one that said that if any of these are going to be upsets.
Oh, man, now you're going to put it on.
Well, no, I'm not. Take the money part out of it. You're the one that said if any of these are going to be upsets, it's going to be supporting actress. Best supporting actor is where we'll go next. Sam Rockwell, again, the favorite that swept everything, minus 833. He's the favorite here as well. Willem Dafoe, still sitting strong in second place, plus 550. He was the favorite on Gold Derby all the way up through until the awards started coming in.
I'd be shocked.
Richard Jenkins, Shape of Water, plus 2,000. Christopher Plummer, all the plumber in the world, plus 2,500. Woody Harrelson, again, the shortest amount of screen time, the farthest from the award at plus 5,000.
Yeah, I'm going with Sam Rockwell.
I'm more comfortable with Rockwell than I am with
Janney,
and I think the Rockwell McDormand awards make the best picture not being three billboards more likely, if that makes sense. It's all about, I mean, we joke about the money, but I'm more worried about being right than I am about anything else. Because I'm a pompous ass, and in my head, the Oscar picture coming together, that Oscar puzzle we keep talking about, I don't think they're going to want to reward three billboards for best picture, and they don't have it for best director. He's not nominated, so.
Right, quite possible. I think I'm with you. I can't, nothing you say I disagree with for once.
Can I borrow 20 bucks?
Until that. Best actress, Mike.
Best actress, no surprise to learn, Frances McDormand, heavy, heavy favorite, minus 1667, meaning you have to put 1600 plus down to win 100 back. Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird, plus 1000. Sally Hawkins, Shape of Water, plus 1300. That kind of surprises me. She's better than Margot Robbie at plus 3300. Meryl Streep in The Post, way behind, plus 6600. So Meryl Streep, we've said all along, is kind of the, hey, thanks for showing up, token fifth nominee.
Elevated a bad movie. Yeah, well, a mediocre movie. I'll give it more credit than that. A solid movie.
Robbie being behind Sally Hawkins. Again, yeah. I'm on record saying Sally Hawkins is an adorable protagonist, probably the most likable one in film this year, but man.
When I listened to the award circuit, ACCAs, when they talked about, you know, all their listenership voting on awards, maybe we'll do this at some point, but they voted on the awards, and Sally Hawkins was like second, I think, maybe, perhaps. At least they're mentioning her a lot.
Are we the only ones that aren't seeing something? Is everyone else seeing a different movie?
I got no answer for you, bud, but I think Frances McDormand is going to win.
Yeah, McDormand's my pick. I think I feel most sure about her in these four acting, but I don't, because I think I feel that way about Oldman.
Who's in the best
acting category.
Yep.
Let's go best actor, Gary Oldman.
Yeah, it's Gary Oldman.
Heavy, heavy favorite. Minus 3333 are his odds. Timothée Chalamet, Call Me By Your Name, in second as plus 1600. Daniel Kaluuya, plus 1800. Daniel Day-Lewis, plus 2500. Denzel, way behind, plus 3300.
So you got to bet $3,333 to win 100.
Correct.
Jesus
and
H.
that's
Christ.
To dissuade people from betting small amounts on each one and being able to turn a profit, because it's impossible.
Mm.
So.
Wow. Yeah, Gary Oldman's going to win it. So put up your house. Don't do it.
Here's where I'm at. Let me see if I can convince myself to not pick Oldman here.
You just can't resist those eyes. It's like
Gary
famous
Oldman
last words.
Has won everything.
Chalamet, friggin' plus Chalamet. 3, 000, whatever. What the fuck was he?
Chalamet at plus 1600. If I was gonna put money anywhere else, it'd be on him. I don't think he's gonna win, but the Call Me By Your Name contingent is a lot louder and more boisterous than the Darkest Hour contingent.
Right.
One of these acting awards is going to be an upset.
Mm-hmm.
If Janney wins and Rockwell wins and McDormand wins, I'd be very, very nervous if I was Gary Oldman's
family. I think it's going to go chalk, but that's just me.
I do too. That's my natural inclination. But
we haven't even discussed parlays or whatever the hell else you could
do.
Don't do it.
That's for my podcast.
Don't do it, folks.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to pick Chalamet really bad, and I'm gonna.
Silver Linings Playbook was not a realistic movie.
Kick my own ass if fictional. Chalamet doesn't win. I guess I'll pick Oldman. Yeah, I'll pick Oldman for this, and I'll go Manville for the supporting actress, and just hope. Hope I was right.
Is there a bet where you can bet like the field against the chalk?
Like one of the people that weren't nominated to win in a write-in?
No. Because you could probably, can you bet somewhere to, on all four of those?
I'm sure there are some establishments that let you have some sort of bet like that, yes. I don't know. Man.
Because with the favorites the way they are this year, I would think that would be a decent bet. You know, the house has to win all four, but they're probably going to win all four.
Right, right. Oh, man. Best. You don't feel like one of these is going to be an upset? One of the four?
No, I don't, you because don't? They've all swept.
I know. You're totally right. All right, where are we going next?
Best director.
Something near and dear to your heart, as we said. Best director. Not as heavy a favorite as you would think.
Really?
Minus 1,000. You know, 1 to 10 odds. Christopher Nolan, second place, plus 700. Keep an eye out. That's all I'm going to say. Keep an eye out. Greta Gerwig, plus 1,400. Jordan Peele behind Gerwig, more than double the odds, plus 3,300 in PTA at plus 6,600. I know that's going to anger you.
That angers me. Just Yeah, that means, I don't know. I don't know what that means, because it just means disrespect for the category. I think Jordan Peele's movie is much better than that. But all right, fine. I'm going to get over it. I think Guillermo del Toro is going to win too, if I'm making the prediction.
I do too. And it's, you know, if it is a Mad Max situation where something like Blade Runner wins all the technical undercard abilities, that's going to cut into Shape's 13 nominations. Shape's leaving with at least one award. Probably not going to be Sally Hawkins. Probably not going to be Octavia Spencer.
Production design and original score seem like...
Original score, it's true. I just don't see del Toro losing this. I have more faith in this one than I do in something like Oldman. Some kind of backlash not hitting Oldman.
Sure.
No, that's good input by you. What's next?
Sorry, I was looking up last year's betting odds. I don't know if I got them all. All right, so next is Best Picture.
This is it. Best Motion Picture Award. Would you like to guess as to what the favorite is? There is one.
I can't find it on my thing either. So, yeah, my guess is... Three Billboards?
It is Three Billboards, minus 133. Would you like to guess second? Give me the top four in order, your prediction.
Three Billboards.
Yep.
It's not Shape of Water?
Shape of Water is two.
Then I would say Dunkirk and Get Out. No?
Lady Bird, third.
Wow.
Get Out, fourth. Three Billboards, minus 133. Shape of Water, plus 135. So this book, anyway, it sounds like it's a two-headed race. Lady Bird at plus 1,200. Get Out, plus 1,600. Dunkirk, plus 3,300. The Post at plus 10,000. Call Me By Your Name, plus 10,000. Darkest Hour, Phantom Thread, all plus 10,000. So you have five that have a realistic chance of winning, or at least somewhat, according to the odds, up to 33-1. Get Out at 16-1 odds, if you're looking for something with odds and value. It's those four, right? Three Billboards, Shape of Water, Lady Bird, Get Out. Dunkirk, I've heard, getting a lot of momentum lately. See, somebody broke it down on Twitter the other day, and I wish I realized who it was. They said it's the New York contingent, which wants Dunkirk and Shape of Water, against the LA contingent, who wants Lady Bird and Get Out, against the British contingent, who wants Three Billboards.
Wow. That is confusing.
Yeah, well, cross-eyed. Three Billboards that just win the BAFTAs. I guess that makes sense, at least there, but I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I've been torn between the top two, Shape of Water and Three Billboards. I would rather neither of them win. I'm rooting for other movies, but if I'm pressed, I'm going to say Three Billboards.
I have said Lady Bird pretty consistently throughout the year, and I think I'm going to change it to Get Out. I want Get Out to win so bad. I don't think it's going to.
Was that third or fourth?
That's fourth. Which surprises me to see it that low. Yeah, I thought it would be two.
Just those ads.
I thought it would be number two.
Famous last words.
Please don't give this the Shape of Water.
I had that there for the longest time. I actually just changed it to Three Billboards, so I feel like a half measure year. I feel like,
but if it's a half measure year, that means you're going to give away two acting categories and Best Picture all to the same movie that didn't get a director nom.
It's weird, but I precedents are made to be broken.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Get Out as my official pick.
I'm rooting for Lady Bird as like the sentimental favorite. Like, that's the movie I want to get something at the end of this night, and I feel like it's just getting edged out of all the other categories. But is it the best movie of the year? I don't know. And I think people are running up against that same
problem. So much. I brought this up in our Best Picture category review. There's just so much backlash, sustained backlash right now against Lady Bird for a reason I'm not sure of. I don't get it.
Right.
The Three Billboards backlash seemed to have subsided. It survived that. There hasn't really been a whole lot of Get Out backlash. There's been some. Shape of Water, you have guys like us that are just bitching and moaning about it, even though we may be the only two people on Earth.
There's a backlash for a reason, perhaps, because it's super popular. And
yeah,
people are trying to campaign against it.
Like I said, I've had Lady Bird as Best Picture winner pretty consistently.
Don't bet this category. That's all I can say. I wouldn't touch this one.
Just bet on the post. Look at those odds.
So last year, Tony Erdman was a favorite for Best Foreign Film. It lost to The Salesman. Sing was not the favorite. It was an underdog that won for live action short. Obviously, Moonlight was an underdog. It won for Best Picture. Sound editing was meant to go to La La Land. It went to The Arrival based on the Bovada sportsbook. Looking back at last year, Best Makeup was meant to go to Star Trek Beyond. It went to Suicide Squad. And Best Documentary Short was meant to go to Extremis. It went to The White Helmets, which is just a tearjerker, rip your heart out kind of a documentary. This year's Last Man in Aleppo is also based on the same subject matter, the same guys who are freaking heroes, for the record. They are heroes. I can't get over that movie. Tore me asunder. I couldn't believe how emotional I got during that movie. It was crazy. Movies don't get me like that much anymore. Even though I mention it every week, a movie getting to me. Maybe I'm a liar and full of shit. But in terms of the technical awards, you had those three go against. You had about another, what I mentioned, another three right off the top. Best Picture, Best Foreign Language Film, Live Action Short. So that's six that went against the odds last year of the 24.
How many major ones in there? Any major ones of the
big six? Best Picture.
Best Picture. Well, right.
And Best Foreign Language Film, if you call that a major one, yeah.
Moonlight.
So that's six awards against the odds. The Oscar pool's tough, man.
It is.
Don't bet your life on it, that's for sure.
Don't listen to Also Mike. Just do it.
Oh,
if you got a feeling, ride that wave, baby.
Angel and the devil on your shoulder here.
We hope this quenched your thirst for our picks. We are just as lost as anyone else seems to be in this matter. And who knows? Maybe we got a couple right for you, but we just wanted to give you some guidance. We know a couple people want to ask.
All the wrong words there.
No, we are leaders. You understand us? You follow us to freedom.
Lemmings, all of them. No, don't do it.
We'll see you guys soon. We're not done yet. Well, we got the Mike and Oscars on the horizon.
A lot of content this week.
Yeah, this is a big week for us, and we're going to keep churning it out as best we can. So until next time, guys, reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us, and we'll check you out next time.
See ya.